With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews, and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes every Sunday wherever you get your podcasts.
I get to start. Hey, everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl.
And I am Molly Wood.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to make this work. This is, in fact, Make Me Smart on a Thursday because there's just so much happening right now in this world and in this economy, and it is hard to keep up. So we decided to do something different.
Yeah, exactly. We decided that as long as we are stuck in our respective houses, we may as well make ourselves useful.
Yes.
In the spirit of my grandmother, God love her, make yourself useful or get out of the way. So we are going to bring you what we are calling a daily news fix. Kai and I are just going to talk about what has happened over the course of the day or put one of your questions in the context of something that might have happened through the course of the day and just try to get smarter and frankly stay smarter together about it because things are moving so fast that we just can't wait a week in between shows.
That's the thing. The tagline that we came up with, actually, that's not true. It's the brand people who came up with it. What you need to make today make sense. That's the line they came up with, which I think actually works really well, if you ask me.
That's so good. So, they're so good at stuff.
They are professionals, much as you and I are, just in a different field.
You can tell from us being like, oh, no, is it starting?
Yeah, that's right.
We're doing great.
So let's see. A couple of things. Number one, first of all, any noises or sounds you hear is because I am in my home studio at Marketplace North. Although Molly objects to that. Number two, I've got Willow the dog in here with me. So if you hear that, that's what's going on. And number three, we're going to try to bang these out like in a reasonable amount of time. We're not going to be around for 40 minutes. So if you think you're going to go running with this podcast, run fast. That's all I'm saying.
Amazing.
Okay. Amazing. Are you going first or am I?
You go first because trillion is in your fix.
Mm-hmm. So the general premise is Molly and I are each going to bring one item, one thing we want to talk about, prompted by all y'all. Send us your thoughts at makemesmart@marketplace.org, or it's just something that is on our minds and we want to talk about it. And what I want to talk about right now is something that, frankly, has been out there in the ether for about 10-ish or something days, and it's a twofold thing. Number one, I want to talk about the $1.5 trillion that the Federal Reserve put into the gears of the financial system. And then I also want to talk about the idea of a $1 trillion bailout of this economy. The thing I want to talk about with the $1.5 trillion that the Fed put into what's called the overnight repo market is this. A lot of people think that that's the government just giving big banks $1.5 trillion to do with what they wish. And that's not actually the case. What the Fed's job is, aside from interest rates and aside from ensuring full employment and all of that, is to keep the gears of this financial system working. And one of the ways that they do that is by maintaining what's called liquidity. That is to say, the ability for transactions to take place in some key parts of the financial system, one part of which is called the overnight repo market. It's a market in which banks and the Fed trade really high quality collateral, specifically U.S. Treasury bonds, for cash that then those banks can use to meet their overnight short-term obligations. And for a lot of reasons that we don't have time for in a relatively brief podcast, that market had started to get really cramped and squeezed about 10 days ago as the ramifications of the coronavirus economy started becoming clear. And so the Fed did what it is supposed to do and put money into that system. The thing you need to know is that, as I said before, they didn't just give the banks $1.5 trillion. They created money, as the Fed does, right? It literally creates electronic money. And then it exchanged that money with the banks for the banks giving the Federal Reserve Treasury notes, the highest possible collateral. And in that way, the Fed injected liquidity into the overnight repo market, thus preventing this from becoming a financial system crisis for the moment, as it did in 2008. Does that make sense?
Right. Pretty much. A friend of mine described it as like a having a home equity line of credit that like it's just good to have it there if you need it, but it doesn't mean that you've actually taken the money out.
Generally, yes. I mean, it does get used more in a home line of credit, but yes, that's the general idea. It's nice to have. You bet.
Okay. Got it. So it's not a, it is not, that is not an immediate $1.5 trillion added to the debt sheet.
Oh, no. And look, don't get me started on the debt sheet, because when the Fed creates money, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's actually not. I'm going to do a very brief sidebar here. When the Federal Reserve creates money, it doesn't get added to the national debt. And we should probably do another thing on modern monetary
theory. Money. Dude, yeah, you read my mind. Literally, yes. I was walking today and I was like, I know that Kai doesn't think he wants to do the show, but we are going to have to do a show on modern monetary.
This is money that the Fed just created. It literally did some computer keystrokes and created credits. Yeah, this is not real money. Oh, my God. I'm making my own head explode, and I can't imagine what everybody else is thinking.
This is really good to know.
This is Fed money. Yeah. Yeah. It's not like we added to our national debt to make this work for the financial system. That's not what's going
on. Guys, aren't you already so much smarter right now? I am.
Awesome. Okay. Very briefly now, I want to touch on, and this is probably something we should talk about tomorrow or maybe the next day. Mitch McConnell today introduced the GOP's rescue plan for this economy. It's $1 trillion. It's got lots and lots of stuff in it. That money is real money, if that makes any sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is actual borrowing that the government's going to have to do to cover these costs. It's tax credits and rebates. It's money for individuals. It's stimulus in other regards. But that's actual money that is going to get handed out to people and companies in this economy. And that's really just the distinction I wanted to make. That's it.
Yeah, and we're going to have to do a lot more, I think, on breaking down how that money is going to get distributed, how people feel about that distribution. But I think that is best spread out over several episodes, probably. Yeah. I can tell you, side note, 80,000 people in California alone applied for unemployment benefits, yesterday in one day, including my brother.
And, is that right? Oh, man.
Yes, our health club sent everybody home, didn't end, hasn't said a word. Still collecting my dues.
Of course they are.
Side note.
Of course they are.
So I raised that because people are getting mad already, right, about the idea of bailout. So we will keep our eye on that for sure and send us your thoughts. Terry Wilson wrote in and said, I was hoping Make Me Smart would answer my question. I am flabbergasted by the shortages of food at the grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
And Terry essentially went on to say, what is happening? And I think that it is important to address that. There's a whole bunch of things happening right now in terms of delivery that I think are fascinating. Amazon Prime Pantry temporarily closed. Amazon basically booted most of its third-party sellers in a way. Like it's kind of fulfillment program to second-tier status so that it can focus on fulfilling necessities for people. Uber is talking about, because, you know, its bookings are down 80% or 70% in some cities, is talking about pivoting its services to delivering medicine. And then on top of that, there's the bare shelves at the store that are freaking people out. And I think it is important to say that there's no indication, like things might be slightly slower to restock. Right. Like companies are having to dramatically increase things like cut up chicken to restock store shelves. There is no reason to think there is enough food. Like supply chains got a little trickier. Meeting demand is a little bit trickier. But everybody who is in a panic and hoarding right now, I am hoping, is going to calm down after several days of seeing store shelves get restocked.
That's my guess. There's been a panic, reason. And it will calm down. Yeah.
I really believe it will calm down. And I kind of urge you to calm down. Like, I know, I understand. And in fact, the people I know who are the most shook in the last week or so, like sort of just coming to the realization that all of you listeners have been at since we first brought this up on the show in January. The people who are the most upset, who I know right now, are people who went to the store, went to the grocery store, saw those empty shelves. And that is like that causes just a deep biological terror in people. And we know that the sort of like behavioral economics of that make you want to buy more. And I just want to say that, right, like, listen, I have every reason to believe there is enough food. There is enough food.
Yeah, for sure.
There's enough food.
For sure. And and that actually, just in the name of not bumming everybody out, is a great transition to what I'm pretty proud of having thought of as a new segment for this podcast.
Just now?
Yes. Well, no, I thought about it before. I slacked it. Perhaps you didn't see it. I think what you and I ought to do is bring a nice little kicker every day. A little upbeat, uplifting. Look, things are bad right now, but it's okay. We're all in it together and it's going to get better so that we don't leave.
Aww.
Like, I know. I'm all like feels now, right? So wait, but that's not the best part. The best part is we're going to call it Make Me Smile.
Oh, get right out of this town.
Come on.
I will say, I just scrolled all the way up in our Slack channel and I see it there. And that is a delight.
Isn't that good? Isn't that good?
All right, yes.
I got to let Willow out. Otherwise, she's going to start barking. that's what I think we got to do.
Guys, I just want you to know that the thing that has made me smile at Marketplace and is happening right now is that some of our toughest customers, including old One Fun Riz over here,
and
our vice president and general manager, Deborah Clark, who is a stiff upper lip type, they've been having the feelings at work, and it is wonderful to see and really necessary.
I got a listener email this morning, and I said this on the air today at Marketplace. I got a listener email this morning that it broke me, and I was crying. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that. What we're going to talk about, I saw this thing this morning on my Twitter feed. It scrolled by, and it was, so here's my little Make Me Smile moment. It was Stephen Colbert sitting on his back porch where he's been doing a show, I guess, the last couple of days, whatever, speaking straight to camera about how crappy this is for everybody, but it's okay, and we're going to get through it. And reminded me, and you can probably find this on YouTube, Jon Stewart from like the week after September 11th. He did like a 20-minute riff, like a monologue. Yeah. You remember that? Did you see that one?
I remember it when it happened.
Anyway,
yeah.
so go look those up. Colbert today, it was a quickie, like a couple of minutes, and then right after September 11th, Jon Stewart. And that's my little Make Me Smile moment. Even though it sounds like I'm not smiling, and I apologize.
Love that. All right, and that is 11 minutes and 48 seconds by my clock. We are still going to do our weekly deep dive Tuesday show, but really and truly, none of us is as smart as all of us. We have seen your questions coming in constantly on Twitter and on email and on the Facebook group. Keep them coming. Make me smart at marketplace.org, because turns out we're here every day now.
Every day. It's day. Every day. Make me smart daily. I kind of like that.
That ought to make you smile.
All right.
See you tomorrow.
No, we got to do credits. Can't go away yet.
I know. Because, but still. Make me smart. Wait. There we go. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Our senior producer is Jody Becker, all of whom were delighted by Kai's fun idea for a new daily show.
Yeah. I'm going to take a picture of Willow outside the door, and I'm going to put her in our Slack channel.
Oh, babes.
She wants to come in. Anyway.
Dogs are winning. Dogs are winning coronavirus.
Daniel Ramirez engineered today. Theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday. And Daniel Ramirez, the executive director of On Demand, is Sitar Nieves. The senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. And we are back tomorrow.
Tomorrow. I feel better already.
There we go. Yep.
I went on Facebook today. I was just trying to fact check.
Why'd you go on Facebook?
Well, because they had been saying that they were trying to do. Well, here's what happened. So they were saying that they were like putting trusted information at the top of the feed. And so I went to see if it was actually happening, like reporter style. But then I saw like everybody's posts, and they were all so like heartfelt and I'm going to cry.
Oh, that's funny.
That it just like all of a sudden it was so much more real than it had been when it was just like the news and my small group of friends on text. Like I sort of viscerally realized it was everybody. And it was a lot.
All right. We got to go. Back tomorrow.
We're done. Goodbye.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.